Hi, welcome to Business Link. I'm Jason Ball, President and CEO of the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. We're here in the AOI podcast studio at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce offices for another episode of Business Link. Really excited to get to our conversation today, but before we do, just want to take a second to remind everybody, you can see all of our past episodes at our website at lcoc.com in our newsroom tab. You'll find Business Link there. You can see all of our past episodes, or you can follow us on your podcast app of choice. And we hope you do. There's been some important conversations. We've got some neat discussions in the queue here for later this year. And so excited to have those roll out. But today, I'm very excited to be joined by not only a guest and a business leader, but also a board member of the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. Bill Udell is the Chief Operating Officer and co-owner of Don't Panic Labs. Bill, welcome to the AOI podcast studio.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Now, Bill, for folks that haven't heard of Don't Panic Labs, tell us what that is. Like, what is a Don't Panic Lab do?
So we're a software innovation shop. Yeah. And it is as broad as it sounds. We help anyone who has an innovative idea bring that innovation to life. Yeah. We actually have an unspoken goal of bringing every innovator's vision to life. Not every lifespan is very long.
Yeah, yeah.
Of those innovators' ideas, but we really do take that seriously. That anyone who walks through our door with an innovative idea, will do everything we can to push it as far as it's capable of going.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. Mostly software products. Okay. We have 38 software engineers, 54 of us total. Yeah. Down at the Telegraph District.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of the Telegraph District, we recently were able to celebrate a ribbon cutting to celebrate the new space. And it's kind of hard to explain the new space for folks, but it's got a lot of room for growth.
Yep.
Got a lot of room for, I'll call it kind of social or collision type of interactions, which is by design.
Yes.
And a lot of opportunity. Tell folks about you know, the space you're in, generally where it's at, and what you're trying to accomplish by moving there.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, coming out of the pandemic, you know, we decided that we wanted to downsize. Yep. We used to have a lot of space down in the Haymarket, and you know, we really enjoyed our position down there of creating collisions.
Yeah.
You know, we liked doing that, but coming out of the pandemic, it really didn't seem like we were going to need as much space as we had down there. Yeah. And so we downsized to 6,700 square feet, and then quickly realized that our people wanted to come into the office. And so 2 to 3 days a week, we would have 35 plus people and 28 desks.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
The desk math doesn't math.
Yeah.
And so we quickly went on the hunt for another spot. We wanted something that had a feel, though, like our old space.
Yeah.
Something that was open and could be used for creating those collisions, could be a space that could be used by the community. And when we wandered in to the space above the Telegraph Mill, we thought, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was work to do, but we could clearly see how it was going to work for us.
Yeah.
You know, and so now we've got, you know, a lovely 13,000 square feet up there. You know, it works well for how we do business. And there's a space that can actually function as what we always lovingly called the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, yeah.
the old Island of Misfit Toys is where companies like Travify and Socialize and Quantified Ag grew up, Local Any Day, you know, these companies that a lot of people in Lincoln are pretty aware of. You know, I'm not going to say we incubated them there, but we helped create collisions by having them in our space, in our kitchen, eating lunch with us. Yeah. And this space above Telegraph Mill has that kind of area available. And we have a company right now, my salesman, who is spending a lot of time living there.
Yeah.
And it's great. They're in the lunchroom. They're having, you know, pizza with us, and they're taking their calls and having their meetings there. And so it's,
for listeners that may not have been, you know, living so close to this industry writ large, or maybe doing other things, that, you know, having your client eating pizza with you every day might sound like a kind of an unusual arrangement. Why is that so important? Explain that for folks that may not be in that kind of an industry.
So the thing that I've been in love with and we've been in love with from day one is creating innovation.
Yeah.
And the only way I know to have it happen is by creating collisions. Mm. There is no way in my mind to be able to predict what innovation may happen.
Yeah.
The best you can do is to try to introduce a variety of people from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different disciplines, and do the things that have conversation happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been intentional that we have a large break room, kitchen, foosball table, places yeah. where people can gather and eat and have conversation, and then try to get people with different backgrounds that don't even work for us in yeah. the same space.
Yeah.
With the known unknown outcome of innovation will happen.
Yeah.
And we see it happen every day. I would say for the few years that we weren't in a space that could support that, we really felt it. We felt the lack of innovation, lack of energy, because we weren't there to create those collisions.
Yeah, yeah. And now you've got the shell to make that happen inside
yeah.
of.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. We're really enjoying having that space to be creative and innovative.
Now, Don't Panic Labs just crossed a major milestone, 15
yeah.
years
yeah.
in business. Tell us, how did Don't Panic Labs get started? I know a little bit of this story. I think people may not have been exposed to it, or it's long enough ago, some folks might have forgotten.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was really, Doug Durham and Steve Keen
yeah.
Wanted to see more of the success that they had with the Accelerate Mind vision.
Yeah.
At the time, Nebraska was 52nd out of 50 states in venture capital, and there weren't a lot of software startup companies, yeah. nor a lot of people who knew how to yeah. create them. But they felt like there was a lot of great things happening here. You know, we had the Rake School. I think back then it might've been JD Edwards, but we had the Rake School. And so we were creating a lot of highly talented individuals. Now, most of them were leaving, or a substantial number of them were leaving, and we wanted to start keeping them. And so we had this convergence of problems of how do we create someplace that this young workforce would want to stay and work at? And how do we, how do we start to grow more of these software startup companies? Mm-hmm. And so they hatched this idea of a venture capital fund.
Yeah. yeah.
So Nebraska Global came out of that. And they always had from the beginning this notion of, okay, it's going to be nerds plus money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we know how to do it. We've got the nerds to do it. And now we just need to raise the money to do it. We'll put it all together and we'll make great things. The name Don't Panic Labs, though, came from Doug and Steve basically having this aha moment of no self-respecting Rake student wants to work for Nebraska Global. It sounds like a bank. And so they reached out to the next door neighbor, arch rival,
yeah.
Who is a brand company for youth.
Yeah. Another amazing Lincoln startup.
Another amazing Lincoln company. Yeah. yeah. And, they sat down, they workshopped it a little bit, and they said, the kids really like this Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book. And then, at the time there was a movie and Zooey Deschanel, and, so it was a popular thing.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
And, yeah. And so they said, well, what about Don't Panic?
Yeah.
And Doug said, well, let's add labs to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we became Don't Panic Labs from that point forward. And the name has actually been pretty magical.
Yeah.
It's unusual. It gets attention. We do have to remind people that we have kind of a silly name, but we're pretty serious people.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
We believe in getting work done.
Yeah.
And so our associates take pride in a job well done and getting work done, despite the fact that we have a name that sounds pretty silly.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Now, 15 years, I don't have to tell you, is a long time in a business, especially in a software-driven uh-huh. type of industry. I'm curious to know from maybe if you look back to the founding of the company and mm-hmm. what people's thoughts, desires, expectations were back then versus maybe 7 years ago, halfway-ish through, mm-hmm. Versus now. What's changed? What's evolved? How has the Don't Panic Labs team been stretched or changed with the changing nature of the company?
So a couple of different facets to this. You would think my answer would be, oh, so much has changed in 15 years.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is it all still rhymes. There's You know, the more things change, the more they're exactly the same as they've always been. Yeah. And I would say, you know, we've got AI emerging, and you might think, oh gosh, you know, it's all changed now, AI. Yeah. I mean, kind of, but it all rhymes. You know, the other factors, the growth factor, is probably the thing that we expected the least. Mm. You know, when we first started thinking about how big might Don't Panic Labs get, I think we imagined, oh, this thing could get to maybe 20 people. Like, if we're wildly successful. And every year, as we got together as a leadership team, we would always say, well, this is as big as we're going to get. And now we don't even make that prediction anymore.
Yeah. And how many people are you now?
We're 54 now.
54. Wow.
We blew past the top end estimate of what we thought we might become. Yeah. And I would say our biggest learnings have really come around that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the ways that we've leaned into education over time have really come full circle for us, because we use our own educational products with ourselves. We lean into the software engineering body of knowledge and the growth of competencies so that we can bring people in and have them perform to the same level as back when we were, six.
Yeah,
you know, and when you're six people, the ability to perform at a really high level seems easier.
it's harder the bigger you get.
The bigger you get, the more potentially diluted your culture can become. Yeah. And we've learned how to lean into culture. We've learned what culture actually means. You know, our culture is actually our core values, not our foosball table. You know, and how we think about software through the software engineering body of knowledge, and the way that we think about volatility-based decomposition, and how seriously we take our engineering, having all those things be what our culture is what's kept us in a position where we can still make really great innovative software with 54 of us, just as well as we could with six.
Now, you mentioned that growth of the team and kind of outkicking what you thought the upper limit on coverage was going to be, right?
Right.
We've partnered in the past on trying to get the word out on one of the ways you all have tried to, if you'll forgive the phrase, manufacture your own growth, your own workforce through the Pathways program. Mm-hmm. And if we're really good, we'll be able to put a link like somewhere right about here, if we can do that, to a past episode that I recorded with co-founder Doug Durham, to talk about the Pathways program. But if you could nutshell that in a few sentences, what is the Don't Panic Labs Don Pathways program?
Yeah, the Pathways program, at least the way that I talk about it, is it's a career do-over. Okay. So there are a lot of people who didn't see themselves when they looked at a career in software engineering.
Yeah.
They would look from the outside and not see people that looked like them.
Yeah.
We believe that at least 51% of the population probably should have at least given serious thought to being a software engineer. And so we set out to create a program to help solve that. You know, we've done various other things. You know, Doug has had a prominent position in trying to help us move forward in computer science education in schools and helping with the University of Nebraska software engineering program. But there's been a generation of people who have chosen different careers. They could do a career reinvention and help us actually fill the very needed positions of software developers.
Yeah.
And so we partnered with Doane University. Dr. Alec Engelbretson, the chair of computing there, helped us create the programming for the first 10 weeks, which really does encompass the first 2.5 years of college education for a computer science degree. And then we finish out that last 10 weeks so that at the end of it, you really do get about 3.5 years of undergraduate education, and you come out as a no kidding software developer with a floor underneath you of a job.
So
there's very little risk to just reinvent your career. Especially with someplace where you already work. That is the desired outcome, is to already be a culture fit where you are and just reinvent into a job that they already needed.
Well, look, in a program like that, you're never going to have to ask yourself, when am I going to use this?
Right.
You know exactly when you're going to use it if you're successful in making the transition.
Right.
For folks that might be hearing and seeing this for the first time and say, oh gosh, that sounds ambitious. Is that really realistic? I've known a couple people that have gone through this program, come out of other industries as diverse as, you know, healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. smart people, motivated for just a gear shift in their career for whatever reason. And that's fine. And there's some really great stories about, you know, I think economic and career empowerment that you've enabled for graduates of this program. It's a really, really cool deal.
We're really proud of it.
Yeah.
It's been a passion project. It's been something that we've wanted to do something about since the very beginning of Don't Panic Labs, and to hear it, and to see it come to fruition, you know, in the last, call it 6 years, has been really gratifying.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other wins too, if we can. You know, 15 years of clients and, you know, startup companies you've worked with, or other projects you've worked on. Are there maybe one or two that stick out to you as, you know, a brand that you're proud that you worked with, or a project that you did just conceptually that you're like, wow, it was a tough project. I'm glad that we did that one. What comes to mind?
Gosh, that is my least favorite question, because it's like if somebody says to you, who's your favorite kid?
Yeah.
Like, there's
which child really is your favorite?
Yeah, which though? Child's your favorite?
Yeah.
I mean, they know. They'll watch this. They'll know. You know, we have worked with such an amazing diverse set of partners over the years. It is genuinely hard to pick some that are a favorite. But gosh, you know, going way, way back, like one of the coolest things. So I wasn't always in leadership. I was a software developer, and one of my first software development projects with Don't Panic Labs was helping a guy who had a crazy innovative idea to use commodity phone hardware to determine how awesome a ride somebody had on motocross.
Oh my gosh.
And so he had a way to actually mount the phone device on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And the goal was to measure, okay, how awesome was that backflip?
So he had like an awesome rating on
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It was called Black Box Enthusiast. And it was, it was so fun to test that.
Yeah.
Now, I did not get on a motorcycle and do a backflip.
You didn't do the backflip.
I did not do a backflip. Okay. Yeah. But we did get to try to figure out, okay, you know, what is this commodity hardware capable of doing? How can we capture it? How can we share it with these riders? How could this be used on this motocross circuit to determine, you know, and he took it lots of different directions from there. But, you know, building that and the relationship with that entrepreneur, and then the ongoing relationship, because he brought his elementary school son in, and then we got to see him through middle school robotics and high school robotics, and now he's getting his master's from Colorado School of Mines in robotics.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so he's got entrepreneurial ideas that you know, he's reached out about. And so it's not just that one project. It's the person that we got to work with and the spinoff relationships from it that are pretty magical. You know, other things that we've done, you know, more traditional organizations. There are, you know, a couple of insurance companies that are local. I won't name a name, you know, there are innovative things that actually come out of these insurance companies that you might look at from the outside and think, oh, it's just a stodgy old company that actually enables some pretty significant innovation.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest innovation that's actually happened in the insurance industry has come out of Lincoln, Nebraska, and we've had some part in helping that happen.
What an untold gem!
Yeah.
About the things that are happening in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. What do you think is next? What's on the horizon for Don't Panic? You know, you went from thinking, oh, we'll never have more than need more than 20 people.
Well, I'm not going to try to predict the number of people.
Okay.
I've given
okay.
up on that.
You don't want to bump that up.
I'm not, we actually did that exercise a few years ago and we threw numbers out, and, the six of us that are owners were wildly disparate in what we thought the numbers might be for us in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think we want to take what we've learned in Nebraska and have it change an entire industry.
Yeah.
You know, we've actually set some big goals for ourselves. You know, back in 23, I believe, we set a goal that by 2027, we would change the software product development industry.
Wow.
Not in the region, not in United States, in the change the software product development
back industry. Back to that sort of ethos of Nebraska Global.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so that still is our goal, will continue to be our goal. We still continue to do things to try to amplify the opinions we have on software product development, because it is an industry that needs to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do is to get on stage and talk about the software engineering body of knowledge, which is far too dry for the audience that'll be consuming this podcast. But, you know, as an industry, we need to grow and develop and mature.
Yeah.
You think about all the places software is.
Yeah.
All the critical things that it does and all of the potentially bad outcomes that can happen if software engineers are not disciplined.
Yeah.
And so that is an area that we put a lot of focus on. We put a lot of focus on very intentionally, regionally and nationally.
You know, I said at the ribbon cutting, and I'll mention it here. When I think of what Don't Panic Labs has done, even just in Lincoln, let alone how you're trying to impact a whole industry, that's thought leadership. And it's hard to do. But I think Don't Panic Labs has definitely made its mark on the Lincoln ecosystem. Great mark on the ecosystem. And, you know, I give credit to the, you know, the founders back in the day and the ownership team and leadership team now for, you know, continuing to push in a 15 years down the road. That's such a great story to tell.
Yeah. You just made me blush. That was, it's our goal to do that. It's our intention to do that. Yeah. We want to continue to work with that intention. And I'm flattered that that you see us that way. And I hope we've had that kind of impact.
Yeah, well, you certainly have. If someone wants to find out more about Don't Panic Labs, where can they go to learn more about what you're doing?
I would say our website's a great source. Okay. We have a lot of content there. A lot of partner profiles. You can look up all the people that we've worked with over time. All of the social medias. We are all over all of them. So find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever else the kids use these days.
And you have a lot of people, generating that stuff. Yes. I love it. I love it. Well, yeah, look, folks, check them out. If you haven't seen, any of their social media or website, go look up Don't Panic Labs. It's really a great, Lincoln success story. It's a great, business leader here in town. And Bill, thank you for your service back to the community, back to this business community on the chamber board. We appreciate that too.
My pleasure.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, this has been another episode of the Business Link podcast here at the AOI podcast studio. Bill Udell from Don't Panic Labs, chief operating officer and co-owner, signing off with Jason Ball here at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce.